God. You don't think he raised Adam and Eve right? You say, well, they ended up right with God in the end. We believe so, as far as Adam and Eve, but some of these other examples, there's no evidence at all. But I'll guarantee you this, they never forgot their upbringing. They never forgot what they were taught when they were raised. See, so when you have a child or two or three or four or however many who walk away from the Lord, but you say, well, I'm claiming that promise, they're going to come back. You just set yourself up. You're going to think God didn't keep his word. But you know what? If you keep the promise as it's intended, then you know no matter where they are, they will never get away from what you taught them. And then when you pray and say, Lord, convict them. Pour it on, Lord. Don't let up till they repent. You know what he's going to do? Exactly that. See, it's all about understanding the Bible as it's intended. Then you got the right promise, the right perspective, and God will never let you down. But when you misrepresent him or misunderstand him, don't blame him when he lets you down because you didn't even understand what it actually said or meant. So when did this happen? The book of Acts. These people that Jesus is speaking to, and one example of someone he wasn't even speaking to right here and there, but was alive and well during this time, we'll talk more about it in a second. In the book of Acts, you'll see where the apostles are presented with situations that they weren't prepared for. And yet when the time came, the Holy Spirit gave them the exact right thing to say. We do that by comparing Scripture with Scripture. We're not going to run all the references because that would take until Doug's next birthday. But we are going to look up a couple of them. Go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 19. And Jesus said to those right there in front of him, Peter was one of them. He said, don't worry about what to say. When the time comes, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. Well, in verse 19, Acts chapter 5, says, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, if you're there, read 20. Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And then if you read, are the next verses where the angel of the Lord tells him what to say? He doesn't have a study session with him. He just sends him and says, speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. That's all he says. He doesn't hand him notes. He doesn't preach to him and say, you know, take this down. He just sends him. And by the way, that's what I'm showing you up here. It's a western wall. Supposed to be near the temple site, which we're not really sure about. God knows. But it is where you're reading in Acts 5 was somewhere close to this vicinity. Somewhere close to that. We don't know exactly. There's some people who say they do know. And there's you can pick five of them and they all contradict each other, but they're all very sure. So we're going to find out. But look at verse 41, 42 then. And they departed from the presence of the council. Remember, Jesus said they'd bring you forth in front of the magistrates and all that. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And what did they do? Read verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. God gave them the words to speak, just like he had promised them to do. And you can just do a survey. I just spent some time last night or yesterday afternoon just looking over this, of the book of Acts. And I found this promise of Jesus fulfilled nearly 20 times just in the book of Acts, where they were confronted by in the synagogues, by the magistrates and so forth, councils. No preparation time at all. You know, I'll tell you right up front, I cheat. You know, I've read the Bible and read the Bible, and I'll read books and commentaries. I've sat through other teachers' teaching, which is no different from reading a commentary or a book on the Bible or reading a study Bible with notes. It's no different than sitting under me right now. You are to judge everything by the Scripture. The only thing inspired and infallible is the text itself. But if you do that, you're a Berean, and you're very careful searching the Scriptures to see if what you're being taught is so, then you will learn a lot and be prepared a lot of the time. Maybe not every time, but a lot of the time you'll be prepared. But when you read the book of Acts, these guys, no preparation, hadn't read any of the books or commentaries because they hadn't been written yet. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. They didn't have anything but an Old Testament to read. And yet, in the book of Acts, we get these Holy Ghost-inspired testimonies from Peter, for example. Acts 2:14, 3:12, 4:8, 4:19, 5:29, 11:4, 15:7. Every one of those represents Peter in a situation responding and being given what to say by the Holy Spirit, fulfilling the actual promise given by Jesus, not the misunderstanding that some people have, but the actual promise that you, when you, who, those, this is where I believe it is about those who actually saw Jesus in the flesh. And I think it extends to those who are believers, obviously, and saw the resurrected Christ and then received the Holy Spirit. Peter on Pentecost, we'll see Acts chapter 9, Paul. But before Acts chapter 9, there was Stephen. And Stephen didn't have time to prepare. He didn't know what was about to happen. But beginning in Acts 6, 9, all the way through Acts chapter 7, Stephen spoke the words God gave him. And then came Paul. Paul received the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 9. He sees the resurrected Christ and then is blinded immediately for several days. But in Acts 13, 16, 17, 2, 17, 22, and all that, I'm not going to read all that off. Those are all references, numerous references, almost 20, just to those three men who saw the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus here in this text. And folks, I say this before we move on. Every promise of God either has been fulfilled, is being fulfilled, or will be fulfilled. Amen. God's word is true. You can have full confidence in God's word. I try to be a man of my word, but you can't have full confidence in my word. I can say, hey, let's get together on August 21st, such time, whatever. Something may come up and I don't make it. I could be in a car accident, whatever. That's never going to happen with God. When God says he's going to do something, he does it. Amen? And who knows how many times this happened that we're not even told about? You know, the Gospel of John said that if everything were written that Jesus did, all the books in the world couldn't contain it. Amen. Well, we know there's the same thing is similarly true of the acts of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And in the acts, when we're given a very select, what are we given? We're given basically what we need to know. Thank God for the book of Acts. We go from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans. I, Paul. Who the heck's this? Where'd Paul come from? He's not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, at least by name. He might have been among the Pharisees, you know, giving Jesus some lip. But we don't know him by name. And then all of a sudden, Romans. Thank God for the book of Acts. We know where Paul came from. But we don't know how many times this happened to... Oh, there's, you know, if you take Peter and Paul aside, there's still 10 apostles. And the... early Christians say that, Andrew went here and was crucified on an X-size cross, and then Thomas went into India and was murdered, and you know all that. Well, all but the Apostle John were supposed to be martyrs. But when they went out, they were confronted by the same things. And you know, Jesus' promise held true for them. Why did it change? Because God gave us the Bible. We're not told to do this. Can you imagine if a preacher stood up and said, "Now folks, some of you have been studying the Bible, and I know you've been putting a lot of effort into this. You need to stop all that. Take ye no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say." Basically, that's the motto of most ministries today. It's not about the Bible, and they're not encouraging people to read the Bible. And I'm sorry, but the Roman Catholic Church, for example, they're not told to study the Bible. And until recent years, you would actually get in trouble if they found out you were. A lot of the martyrs in Fox's Book of Martyrs were killed because they had their own Bible in their own language and could read it and did read it. So that's not to you. It's for you. Why? I just believe, I hope you got the gist of the thing here. We see that Jesus promised something and it came true. How's that for you? Because now you know one more time, you've seen God's promises are true. We're told the exact opposite. You see, you keep reading your Bible, you'll see we're told the exact opposite. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm not going to take for granted that all of you know that by heart. Some of you were in Awana, and so you, a workman. A workman are not ashamed. Approved workmen are not ashamed. Yeah. Had to brush up a little bit. 2 Timothy 2:15, it was the theme verse of that little group. If you dare, read that with me. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So you can tell me if you disagree with me here, but isn't that the exact opposite of what Jesus said? So Paul's a counterfeit. Paul contradicts Jesus. Paul, that's what you have out on YouTube land and out on the internet and everything. You see people saying that. Why are they saying that? Well, first of all, they're either unsaved and maybe even devil-possessed. But Paul doesn't contradict Jesus. Paul's not talking to the same crowd that Jesus was talking to. Jesus wasn't talking to the same crowd Paul is talking to. See, that's why it's not a contradiction. We are told to study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. It's going to take work. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Turn over a page, or at least in my Bible, it's turning over a page. Some of you read that tiny little print. Might be on the next page over. 2 Timothy 3:16. One of the most important Bible verses about the Bible. But read verses 16 and 17 with me. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." See, that's not telling you, don't worry about, don't prepare, don't worry. That's not, it's the exact opposite to you and I. He's actually telling us the reason he gave all Scripture was so that we would know doctrine, we'd be prepared for reproving others, for correction, ourselves and others, by the way, for instruction in righteousness. And so that's the big difference there. It's repeated over and over in God's Word. Some of you could probably toss out some references that you know. Throughout the Psalms and the Proverbs, we're constantly told that. But God gave us His Word so that we could prepare. If you have a Bible and you are not reading it and studying it and preparing yourself to be used of God, now you know why God's not using you. God will not use you. He's not desperate. God is looking for people who read and study His Word in preparation to be used. Amen. And if you will, he will. It's amazing over the years, I know people who really didn't study the Bible the way they ought to, and they start studying and reading everything, and all of a sudden they'll come to me and say, you won't believe what happened to me. Somebody comes across, and all of a sudden, and you're like, I was just reading that recently. But if you hadn't been, if they had said that, you would have said, I don't know. Not sure about that. Why? Because you hadn't read it. It wasn't in there. So that's why God's not bringing that person across your path, because you're just going to look at him with a dumb look on your face. But if you have prepared yourself, suddenly that person comes along and you're able to say, just happened to be reading about that not too long ago. And you can have a conversation, an intelligent conversation. And that's another promise Jesus gave us. In John 16:13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's not handwriting in the clouds, you know, God up there forming the clouds into words and all that. That's not what you saw in your Cheerio bowl, you know, that kind of thing. He will guide you into all truth. He has. It's called the Bible. When he spoke that, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation had not been written yet. What happened? The Holy Spirit came and gave us those books. 29? That's why we put it in the nursery, actually. We have a Bible list of books, and I'm going to put one in here. I haven't figured out exactly where I want to put it. I might trade out one of these so that it'd be more visible. I'm not picking on anybody, but there are a couple people here in just the last couple weeks that didn't know the books of the Bible. And I'm not picking on you. I didn't point you out. How dare you? Hit the floor and give me 50. You know. But let's just be honest, without me pointing any of you out, and I'm going to look at everybody right now so that no one thinks I'm looking at anyone in particular. You should know the books of the Bible. Invest a little time to get familiar with the books of the Bible. And then get a Bible that is yours. If you forget it and use a pew Bible, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but you should have a Bible that is your Bible, and you get to know it. Even if you put the cheaters on, there's nothing wrong with that. I got mine. See the cheaters? Nothing wrong with that.
You're a cheater. Amen.
I believe in using tools. But you know what? If I have no idea whether or not Hezekiah is a book, I'm like, Hezekiah? Where's Hezekiah? There's preachers I've seen do that. If you will, turn your Bible to Hezekiah chapter 2, verse 4. Hezekiah chapter 2. And there are people like, where is it? And he's like, that's not actually a book of the Bible. And he's trying to prove a point, but I try not to embarrass anybody. I do that pretty well without trying, so I don't want to add any. But that's what happens. You have the Spirit in you. You have the Bible. If you will put forth the effort, you will be guided into all truth. You say, what do you mean all truth? All the truth you need.
Amen.
You want to know what ye ought to say? Study, learn, and memorize God's word. You will be amazed at the times where you may not have known what to say in the past, comes along, and then all of a sudden you know what to say. Now, this is where you have to understand. Don't get the big head. Because without the Spirit, you wouldn't understand it. You wouldn't know how. That's the sword of the Spirit. How many of you feel confident right now to pick up a big sword and take somebody on? Not me. Huh? Charlie's the one we would take on. I'm not taking him on. Why? Because he's weird. And he spends time messing with swords. You see, I don't pick up swords. I don't, you know, Jenny won't let me have them. She's afraid I'll hurt myself. You see, but that's the way the Bible is, sadly, with a lot of people. They're not wielding the sword of the Spirit because they're... It's like David said about Saul's armor. Haven't proved it. You get in the book, you learn the book, you memorize the Word of God, you get out there, God will start using you, you'll learn how to wield that sword, and you'll find God using you. As long as you stay with His program, don't get off into all the weird crap that people are getting into and pulling them out of the... We were talking about that in Sunday school. And even if you believe like a flat earth or something like that, that's fine, but that's not your calling. I mean, I'm for the Constitution, but that's not what I go out preaching. You know, that's not my calling. My calling is the gospel. And once you're saved, my calling is to help you understand the Word. And then along with that, you understand our blessing of the Constitution and the country we have, the freedoms we have, and all that goes with it. That's not your main calling. And no matter what it is you love to do, and pick on Mary, a little, what do you call it, croquet is a game, isn't it? Crochet. See, that's why I don't even pick up the needle point.
But croquet.
Yes. Mary doesn't run around saying, you know, if you want meaning in life, you should crochet. Now, that has its place, right? But her message is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about Jesus. And I pick on everybody around here, all the different things you do and things you're into. But stay on that course that God has set for all of us. The same course.
Amen.
1 Peter 3:15 said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. See, that's the opposite of what Jesus said to that crowd. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And most of the time, we simply need to present that gospel and give her our personal testimony. You present the gospel and then tell them what it did for you. Tell them about when you were saved. It's that simple.
Oh, My name is on the roll.